Good evening, or I guess good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD
It's very late.
Championship Week Video Notebook, world record length chip video notebook. We're up to day number 16. We've never had a day 16 in these video notebooks
It's
before.
very late.
David, it's been more than 2 weeks. Are we finally at Selection Sunday tomorrow?
I finally get out of the damn bunker tomorrow.
No, you don't. That's another week away.
No.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Salika, David Griggs, Rocco Mill from Bracketeer.org. David, we've got 48 hours after Selection Sunday, which replacement teams can come in. You've got to remain in the bunker until then.
No, I don't.
It is the eve of Selection Sunday. We had the championship Saturday today. We had amazing games. We had upsets. We had craziness going on. We're going to recap all the games here. We're going to update our survival board. We're going to do our feature. We're going to start with a little news and notes, though. One bit of news that came out today, Rocco, was that Duke has officially clarified that they are making themselves eligible for the NCAA tournament despite pulling out of the ACC. So that means they're in, right?
Yeah, not so fast, my friend. Yeah, very nice of them to put themselves in the mix. And in all honesty, I think that's good to hear that they are able to put a team out there and compete should they get picked. But unfortunately, I think the road already ended. And I think the most Blue Devil fans could hope for is being one of those four alternate teams.
Is Mike Krzyzewski aware that the NIT is in Dallas this year and not New York? It's not going to be on the Blue Devils' home floor.
Yeah, right, my understanding is that Duke will not play in the NIT. I've heard that St. John's also may not play in the NIT if they are selected for them. But those two teams, if they do get selected to the NCAA tournament or even as an alternate, would still be available for that. Again, the field will come out Sunday night at 6. Any team that is not going to be able to participate, if they know it by Tuesday night at 6, there will be a replacement team. After Tuesday night at 6, there will be they will just be a, like we saw in the ACC tournament, a no contest, and the opponent will advance. That note, let's get to let's talk about what we did in our Hoops HD mock selection committee, though. I'm going to pull it right up here on the screen. Should be coming up here in a second.
Yeah.
And this is the results of today's mock committee.
That's a house, Chad. That is not.
That's the Sherwood Estate.
Okay. Chad, the committee is watching. That's why we're opening.
That's Graceland, actually. So that is not my house. I wish it was my house, but let's try this again here. We are trying to get the screen up here. Having some problems. How about now?
Right now it's blocked. Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Had some problems. Got that fixed. This is what our mock committee did. Yeah. We have come up with our field of 68.
Yeah. And again, we'd like to welcome all the selection committee members watching in the committee room right now. This is it. This is what you need to be doing.
Okay. As a note here, the final teams that got voted in were Drake and Utah State. Our top four teams out at the moment. We are going to be doing this again on Sunday, so things could change. Our Colorado State, Syracuse, Ole Miss, and Boise State, those will be our four alternates. And we have seeded from Gonzaga 70 teams. David, we expanded the field?
Yeah, we did. Well, I mean, there's what we did, and this is a little trick, and I believe the committee has done this in the past, is everybody that's still playing goes on the seed list. That way you have time to sort of react when things go a little crazy.
Right. There are two more teams that are going to come off the seed list. Either the loser of the Patriot League game, championship game, will come off. That will make it 69. It'll become 68 after the American championship game, which we'll get to discuss the American here in a moment. But that would
now, as a point of procedure here, we did our voting around 9 o'clock tonight. We actually had voted Drake, Utah State, and Colorado State at the time. But since we had too many bid thieves, Colorado State had to go out of the field.
Yes. Yeah. Colorado State disappeared when the Pac-12 game went final, which we'll also get to here in a second. But that's where we are. And there's also right up on the website, you can check it out about everything that went down today in our mock committee. And tomorrow afternoon, some point, after all the games are done, our final mock committee bracket will be on the website. So keep an eye out for it.
Yeah. But anyway, what was it, 15 championship games today?
Let's get right to them. And let's start with bid thief number one, Georgetown versus Creighton. And Rocco, this was a good old ass whooping.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes. I think it started off pretty tight, and then all of a sudden, down the stretch towards halftime, it blew up to 18-point halftime lead, doubling up actually 36 to 18. Georgetown built that lead, and then they were in cruise control pretty much the entire second half. Just an unbelievable 4 days all around for the Hoyas. Chandler Biles been just an amazing player for the Hoyas as a leader. And I think just the chemistry and how hard they're playing, regardless of what was going on the other side of the court, it really stood out. Like, they wanted this more than anyone, and it showed, and it paid off. And honestly, like, at the end of the regular season, they won 4 of 6, including a win over Seton Hall and Xavier. And so, just see them carry that through in the biggest stage is hats off to Patrick Ewing and the staff.
Absolutely. Dave, to go back to our mock committee board, we have Georgetown. If you did the math here, that would be they'd be on the 12 line.
Yeah, and which is kind of crazy, like, how much ground they've covered, how fast. But, Rocco kind of explained it. They had an unspectacular year, but in the latter part of the regular season were noticeably better, had some big wins, and then had three really – well, they beat a potential protected seed, two of them in Villanova and Creighton, and another bubble team in Seton Hall. That's a hell of a week.
Yeah, the great.
I should
week.
Also add that the way our field is slotted right now, they could potentially face their old friend Mac McClung in the first round in Texas Tech.
That is possible. Wow, and even that's a great matchup there. So congrats though to the Hoyas. They will be dancing. They are in the NCAA tournament. Also, a surprise dance ticket handed out to Stalica in the Pac-12, where the Oregon State Ducks do it again. They take down Colorado, and Wayne Tinkle's team is in the dance.
The Oregon State Ducks.
Oregon State Beavers. I'm sorry. That's the three. That's the it is daylight savings time. It just went from 1:59 a.m. to 3:01 a.m. So I'm very tired now.
It's been a long
We're skipping over Chad's apology here.
Yeah.
I'm not. Oregon State Ducks.
Yeah.
They beat the Oregon Beavers in the semifinals.
And to win the Western Athletic Conference.
An incredible ride for a team that was actually picked to finish 12th in the conference this year.
Yeah.
What a tournament. Well, this was a team that was nowhere near the NIT, but that was the thing. The expectations were so low. We were like, wow, what a job Wayne Tinkle's done. And then he comes out and does this. I don't know. Go to Rocco. He's a Pac-12
Rocco.
Guy. What the hell is all this?
Rocco, what the hell is this? And where do you see them? Are they a 12 seed, 13 seed? Where are they?
I think they're borderline 12, 13. I mean, this team overall overachieved all year. You think back, they were able to knock off USC and Oregon back-to-back back in January. Had a little bit of a rough patch on the road in the early part of February, but came down the stretch winning 4 of 6, including sweeping a decent Utah team. But, yeah, then they had to face tournament teams. I think they were helped quite a bit by Arizona's omission from the tournament, which gave them a bye, which usually as a 5 seed, you don't get a bye. But they had to beat 3 tournament teams to get there: UCLA, Oregon, and Colorado back to back to back. And man, just a really good job of coaching the roster, keeping players fresh and getting it done tonight. I mean, I really thought they matched up terribly against Colorado, and they still overcame that. That's just really impressive.
Yeah, and UCLA might be a little bit of bubble trouble for UCLA. You mentioned they're a tournament team right there on the bubble. Although their loss to Oregon State looks a little bit better now that Oregon State's in the field, but obviously one less spot available too. So I think UCLA was probably rooting against them.
Yeah, UCLA might be playing on Thursday.
Yeah, they may be a first 4 team. It was also ACC Championship game day, David, and it was Georgia Tech, Florida State. And you know what? At the beginning of the year, Zach and I were both on the Georgia Tech bandwagon. We got laughed at, and there they are. The ACC, their champion, is the team that wins the tournament. So we had the champion.
It is, and it was just a bizarre way this played out. I know Miami was hot and cold all year, but Miami plays their way into the quarterfinals after having to win in the opening round. But Georgia Tech's path to the championship game included a win over the last place team.
And that was it. And they bye and beat Florida State. Come on, let's give them some credit, though.
Yeah, and they did. And honestly, the Yellow Jackets looked fantastic today. They were well coached. They were well prepared. They looked relaxed. And no doubt about it now. I don't think there was any doubt about it before, but no doubt about it now. They're in the NCAA tournament. perhaps Josh Pastner's best year as a head coach. I'm glad to see him getting better. I thought that, like, at Memphis, he was kind of thrown into a situation that it was hard to succeed when you're taking over a program that was used to being ranked number one and going to Final Fours. It's a hard first job to have. But I just, more than anything else, like those players, that whole staff, but the job he's done there apparently this year, just outstanding.
Rocco, our mock committee, we had them as a 9 seed. Do you agree with that? Or do you think they could be wearing white as a top 8 seed now?
I think they could be moved up to an 8 or, yeah, probably 8's a ceiling. But, I mean, it's just tremendous that they've been able to win the ACC tournament. I mean, just a few weeks ago, I was kind of laughing at the fact they were even on the bubble, and now they've just steamrolled their way, you know, ever since, you know, a couple of those big wins they've had. So it's tremendous, like you said. And Moses Wright's, like, probably one of the more underappreciated players in the league, not only the league, but the country. And Alvarado and DeVoe, those guys can really go hard, and they're perfect for a tournament run. But yeah, 8-9 is going to be tough for them to get to the second weekend, but you still wouldn't want to face them right now. They're playing so well.
John, Big 12 tournament championship game, where an Oklahoma State team that had just come off of 2 top 10 wins, including beating one of the best teams in the entire nation, Baylor, the day before, got a Texas team that had a day off, and they lost by 5 points. Your thoughts on this game?
Well, certainly going to be no shame in that for the folks right here. They're still going to be looking at a nice protected seed, more likely in the 3 line right here. And
2 line,
Texas,
maybe.
We can start the debate as to whether or not the Longhorns will be on the 2 line or the 3 line themselves after having to go through Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. But to your point, Oklahoma State now has another win against West Virginia, a win against Baylor.
Yeah, and one of our big debates we had in our mock committee was number 8 overall, number 9 overall, the bottom of the 2 line, top of the 3 line, Oklahoma State and Texas after today. I think at the end, by a very narrow majority, we like Texas on the 2 and Oklahoma State on the 3. I personally disagreed with that.
I did too.
David did also. I think John and Rocco, you were on the other side of the debate. We could sit here for hours on it and say, yeah, we'll find out tomorrow. It was also championship game in the Mountain West, Rocco, for the 3rd consecutive season, San Diego State and Utah State. And this one was not quite the thriller we had last year.
No, it was good. Kudos to San Diego State. Great game plan today. A little bit unfair the way that they set this up. I think Utah State stopped playing last night at about, I don't know, 11 midnight. And then had to turn around and play a 3 p.m. game.
It was 2:30 where I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always think these types of, this is how the Pac-12 used to run their championship games too. And then Mountain West now has that TV slot. And I always think it favors the team that plays first the night before. But with all that said, San Diego State, great game plan defensively, denying Cade the ball, even though he put up 18 in the end. I was impressed that the Aztecs went out and won handily. I thought Utah State was going to really fight a little bit even harder to make sure they got the bid. So well done by the Aztecs.
Right. And Utah State is a team that's definitely going to be sweating it out, as will
right.
Colorado State and Boise State tomorrow. I think one of those three gets in along with San Diego State, but there's a possibility for a 1-bid Mountain West. There's a possibility for a 3-bid Mountain West. We'll find out tomorrow. John, it was Big Ten semifinal day today, going back earlier today, and begin with the Michigan Ohio State game. Where Michigan came storming back, but could not quite pull this thing out.
Yeah, Ohio State ended up leading by 8 points with just under 2 minutes to play, and Michigan was able to whittle it down, but not to the point where they were able to either tie or overtake the lead. But early on, you could tell how dominant Ohio State has been in this tournament just because they were down 2 points early in the game, and immediately the CBS graphic is coming up. Largest deficit faced by the Buckeyes this tournament.
Yeah, David, they get Illinois tomorrow, who took care of Iowa in a very good, another pretty good game, and a pair of semifinals here. First time ever, I think they said that you had 2 semifinals in a conference tournament involving all 4 teams being top 10 teams, but Illinois knocks off Iowa.
Yeah, and again, this Illinois team is just, you know, running like a freight train. I think they win it tomorrow, but even if they don't, I like their chances of making the field, John.
Yeah. Rocco, Ohio State, Illinois tomorrow. Your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, really good win by the Buckeyes today. But Illinois has been my pick since when the first bracket first came out. I'm sticking with Illinois. I think they're a buzzsaw. This is now six in a row after the Iowa win. And almost all of them have been by double figures. So I love the way they're playing right now. Watch out for the Illini. I think they're going to get it done tomorrow.
At the end of the day, it's a game that's not going to, unfortunately, it's going to be a great game that may not mean much other than a trophy because they're both probably set. Illinois a one seed, Ohio State a two seed. There may be an argument, but for Ohio State, the one line, if they win, I don't really see it. But
yeah, that's a good point, Chad. The decision's
probably made already, right?
Yeah, because, and again, the question you hear is does the committee consider this or not? The answer is yes, but the key word is consider. They're not always going to act. And upon consideration, I don't think the result of tomorrow's game really changes or redefines either team.
Right.
Yeah.
The SEC. I think
the other wild card for Michigan, let me finish. The other wild card is going to be the health of Isaiah Livers going forward because
ever since he
got hurt in the Illinois game, Michigan has been on a bit of a downward slide. So from there, I could see an argument where Ohio State possibly goes up to the one if the Buckeyes win tomorrow.
I agree with David, though. I think in the end, the decision is going to be made. And Livers is not definitely out, not definitely in.
Yeah.
That's why I think they probably ignore the Livers for any consideration for seeding. That's my personal thought on it.
Yeah.
But let's keep rolling on here to the SEC. And John, let me stick with you. We began the day with the Alabama-Tennessee game, in which Tennessee had their number early, but Bama came all the way back to take the game.
Yeah, it was about a 15-point deficit that Alabama had to overcome, and it was kind of a quasi-home environment for the Vols, even with fewer fans in the building. But at the same time, the other kind of a mild surprise was going to be LSU making it to the title game for the first time since 1993. So it does cool down a red-hot Arkansas.
I think we lost John. Hopefully we'll get him back here in a second. Rocco, let me go to you as we have a hell of a football game between Alabama. I mean, a championship game between Alabama and LSU tomorrow.
Well, I'm impressed that LSU was able to beat Arkansas. You know, this is a team we talked about last night that's been melting down like crazy away from home. They seem to have been turning a corner here in Nashville. And, you know, now sky's the limit. I don't know how much they care or pay attention to their seed, but this is a, you know, the SEC championship means something to them for sure, both teams. So I think LSU is going to give it a good fight. Alabama, of course, playing without Josh Primo again. I think it could be a pretty good game, but I expect Alabama to find a way.
I agree with you. And I mean, the LSU game kind of surprised me. I really thought Arkansas was so hot, but there they are, LSU and Alabama tomorrow. David, over in the American, it was also semifinal day. And let's start with the Wichita State-Cincinnati game, because this was one of the crazier and better games of the day.
Yeah, crazy is one word for it. It was both teams, I thought, playing really well. A lot of crazy, unconventional things happening, like missed free throws at key moments and, you know, bizarre turnovers. And, of course, horrendously bad calls against both teams. It was great theater. It was great drama. And on top of that, you had the stakes of Cincinnati playing for their season, because without this automatic bid, they're not getting in. And Wichita State playing to stay on the right side of the fence and remain inside the bubble. So one of the more, you know, it may not have had the showcase that the Big Ten had with four top 10 teams, but from a stake of even just making the field, one of the better and more important games. Cincinnati getting the win. They led for most of the game, not the entire game, but I've been impressed with them in both their tournament games, really. And I don't know if it continues tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, Altari Gilbert had a shot there at the buzzer for Wichita State. The belt ball did not go in. Wichita State is going to be sweating tomorrow. There's some people that are projecting them out. I personally think they belong in still, but John, do we have you back?
I think you have me back.
Well, we do.
Well, all right, John. Well, how about the Memphis-Houston, the second game there between Memphis and Houston today, which Memphis tried to come back. It I don't think it was quite as close to that 2-point final score, but Houston holds on for the win.
And still yet more painful for the Memphis State Tigers because they're not going to get another chance at the Cougs this season.
Yeah. No. They lost by 3 points and 2 points. The first game was, you know, what was it off the, they tied it. It was a mid-court shot that put them out. And today it was another shot at the buzzer. So, yeah, those are going to sting for a while.
Yeah. And now, Rocco, tomorrow we have Cincinnati and Houston. Yeah. With a potential, with our third potential major bid thief on the line here.
Well, let's put it this way. Just a couple of weeks ago, Cincinnati went to Houston and lost by 38 points, 90 to 52. The only time they met this year. So either Cincinnati got a ton better since then, which I think they did get better. I don't know. We just don't know how much. Or Houston might blitz them again. But there's so much on the line. I mean, after what we saw today, what we talked about with the Beavers and the Hoyas, I don't want to put it past any team now. So wait and see, and we'll have a couple brackets ready.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The thing is, it got worse before it got better for the Bearcats, because don't forget they lost a last second game that they added to Vanderbilt at home. Yeah.
Bad. Oh, by 14. Bad. They lost that by 14.
I remember we joked that was the game of the day because it was completely meaningless. Well, maybe it turned out it wasn't completely meaningless. Yeah. Cincinnati team is now in the with it, one win away from the NCAA tournament. It is the 3:15 game. It'll be ending not long before the field is announced. So I'm fairly certain that every bracketologist out there, us included, will have two brackets and throw one away depending on the result of this game and keep the other. As well as the actual selection committee. Rocco, let me stick with you. It was America East Championship game day today, and congratulations to the Hartford Hawks for the first time ever making the NCAA tournament after being in D1 for the 46th year, I think, in D1 here.
That's incredible. And they earned it. You know, they won at Vermont last Saturday. And waited all week for Lowell to come to town, and they were ready today. Really good performance, and you know, I just think this team's actually pretty good. Like they turned it on here in the you know, this tournament started Saturday, February 27th. So this is night 16 of the notebook. Hartford's been included almost all those nights. But anyway, hats off to them. How exciting is that?
That is awesome. Congratulations to Hartford. Pretty sure they're on the way to the 16 line, maybe a play-in game, maybe a first four game, maybe not. David, a team that's not going to a play-in game is Eastern Washington. They took care of Montana State today, and I don't know that it was even as close as that 10-point final.
It wasn't. I mean, I it felt like Eastern Washington was up by about 20 at the tip or during the warm-ups before the game. At no point were they ever really out of it. In fact, like you started paying attention to some other games because it was so in hand. Eastern Washington has a high ceiling. We've been saying that all year, and they've really shown it in this tournament, especially in the semifinals and finals. Probably not going to be welcome in the state of Montana anytime soon, based on what they've did in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. John, Big West tournament championship, the last game to finish tonight. It was close for a while, but UCSB about midway through the second half started pulling away here.
Well, this was indicative of a UC Santa Barbara team that ended up winning the Big West by multiple games and looked a little more dominant as compared to Irvine, who, as you noted, put it up a decent fight for the first half of the game, but the Gauchos were never seriously threatened in this one.
Yeah, and Irvine had beaten them twice in the regular season way back at the very beginning of the season. They definitely avenged that tonight and when it mattered most.
This is for, and I know this isn't news to the three of you, but for those that are watching that may not know, this is a live wire UCSB team. I mean, this is a team that is way better than what their paper probably indicates based on the circumstance of how their schedule worked out. This is a damn good team. They didn't lose many. Two of the games they did lose were in about a 24-hour period, I think, to this same Eaters team. They more than avenged that. Holy crap, is this team good.
Yeah, Rocco, this is a very dangerous 12, probably very dangerous 13 seed in the NCAA tournament here.
I agree. I think they're extremely dangerous. Look at today's box score. They had more steals than turnovers. I mean, this team is so effective. They're really good at protecting the ball. Deverl Ramsey, the point guard, he's leads the nation in assist to turnover ratio. Ja'Cory McLaughlin is the star. And really cool night for him. Not only is he going to the tournament, but all of his ex-teammates, because he transferred from Oregon State, they're going to the tournament too. The McLaughlin family's very happy. And I know they're still close with the Tinkles. And he's just developed so amazingly under Pasternak's coaching. Very dangerous team. And the four line doesn't look particularly strong. I think
no, it doesn't.
They got a shot against whoever they get paired with.
Right. Conference USA, Rocco, let me stick with you. It was another big upset here. Western Kentucky, it's a team that I thought was a lot better than they've played, and they've had so many head scratching losses. And today, an overtime thriller, but North Texas advances and they're dancing.
They're dancing. And Javion Hamlet, like, this guy took over the tournament. I'm pretty sure he won MVP. I haven't confirmed that, but he had to have. I mean, every key possession, the Mean Green go to Hamlet and kind of clear out of the way. And he had that one-handed floater in the 57-57 tie that was ultimately the difference in a four-point win. WKU, and they just had so many chances this season. They started with such a great foundation for a resume, the win over Memphis, win over Alabama, and it just kept building. Got that opportunity against Houston, fell short. Got this opportunity, fell short. And, it's unfortunate that Charles Bassey had so many great years there and they never got a chance in the tournament with him.
Yeah, this game was one of the more bizarre games of the day. It was a four-point final margin. It was in overtime. But strangely, at no point did it ever feel like it was a close game.
At the very end of regulation, yeah. In overtime it did. But North Texas had a huge lead early, yeah.
Yeah, they had the huge lead early. They jumped out to a 17-0 lead. It was just like Western Kentucky's alarm clock didn't go off. And then – WKU comes storming back. I think they went on like a 47-20 run or something. I mean, just something incredible. Then it looked like they got a lead out to double digits and were in complete control. But then North Texas fought back despite having one of the biggest momentum swings you'll ever see. It was just a crazy game.
Yep. So congratulations to the Mean Green. John, I guess we'll get back to there, but John, the Ohio Bobcats in the Mid-American tournament, Buffalo took care of them very easily. And they look so good at this entire tournament. They rolled to the championship.
Yeah. Speaking of teams that were never really challenged tonight, the Bobcats would also fit under that bill. And it was the same story against Toledo the other night, where they also knocked out the Rockets and, for that matter, looked dominant against Kent State. So whoever draws them in the first round, beware.
Yeah, this is probably a team looking at the 13, maybe the 14, 13-14 line, though. Another very, very dangerous team in the first round here. I honestly thought they were the best team in the MAC despite fifth place finish heading into the tournament. And I was right.
Yeah.
David, skip the conference, go back to it here. Congratulations to Rick Pitino. He is back in the NCAA tournament. Mike Krzyzewski is probably not going to be in it. John Calipari is not going to be in it.
Yeah.
Jim Boeheim may not be in it. Rick Pitino is in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, he is. Now, and again, a little bit of a deceiving 9 seed. We've been over this and over this. It was not win percentage. It was number of overall wins. Iona, due to multiple repeated shutdowns, didn't rack up a lot of wins due to not playing a lot of games. So they certainly weren't 9th. If the end of the tournament didn't indicate that, I don't know what the hell does. Rick Pitino now with, I believe, is it 5 different teams to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I believe he's like the third coach to ever take 5 teams to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. So congratulations to him. I do want to say a lot of people.
Hold on, Rocco, is that by right at third or is it the fifth coach?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were kidding me there. Go ahead.
Now, I mean, a lot of people are, congratulating Iona, and rightfully so, and talking about what an amazing job Rick Pitino did. I don't want to over understate that, but I don't want to overstate it either. This is a team that's been in the last five NCAA tournaments. They've been in eight postseasons in a row. It's not like, you know, it was Canisius or someone that hardly ever gets there. Iona's been the flagship team of this conference for a while now.
They have actually now won five consecutive Metro Atlantic tournament championships.
Yeah, it's been a while since they've lost a conference tournament game.
Yeah, it was. They didn't win. They didn't lose any conference tournament games last year either, when they did not complete the tournament. So over the last six seasons, they've won five consecutive Metro Atlantic tournament championships.
Yeah,
if that makes sense, it's the truth. Rocco, it was championship day in the MEAC as well. Norfolk State and Morgan State, and how about the Norfolk State Spartans getting their second ever NCAA tournament bid? And they made a little noise last time they were there.
They did, yeah. Was it the time against Mizzou?
That was the Mizzou game. They were 15-2 upset against Mizzou, yep.
I thought they might have made it back since then. That's awesome. Nope. Yeah, really good performance by the Spartans this year. And you know, not just here in the tournament, but they came in with four straight wins. And that's the fourth time they beat Morgan State this year out of five. So clearly the better team going in, they proved that. Four out of five is pretty good. And I think they beat James Madison, they beat George Mason. So they could make a little noise in the tournament. I think they got a solid team. They're pretty close to 200. They're right at 200 in KenPom. So watch out for the Spartans. It could be interesting.
They'll give a good game in their 16 versus 16 first four game at least. They could potentially avoid the first four, depending on what happens to the Patriot League tomorrow, actually, also, but we'll see there. John, right. It was championship game day in the Southland Conference, and we thought heading into this tournament that Abilene Christian was the best team. We thought maybe they'd be tired if they lost to Sam Houston State. They didn't even have to play Sam Houston State, and they really crushed Nichols.
Was it a championship day in name only here? Because as you pointed out, Abilene Christian just dominated from tip to buzzer right here. So Texas, a lot better than the Louisiana side of this bracket.
Yeah, there it is. The Texas region champion wins it over the Louisiana region champion. Congrats to Abilene Christian. Back, I believe this is their second NCAA tournament appearance.
Yeah, and sort of a curtain call in the Southland for them as they're moving on to the WAC next year.
Yes, they are. Along with Sam Houston State, Cedar Faustin, Lamar, Central Arkansas is off to the Atlantic Sun. The A Sun. Yeah. Sorry, got it called by the right name now. But David, let's do it. Let's go there. It was the finale of the Giant logo.
Yes. I hate that it's over. I mean, the NCAA tournament's great, but it's not played on a logo like that.
It was Texas Southern and Prairie View bit of a surprise here how easily Texas Southern won this game, actually.
Yeah, after what really was an outstanding tournament, you know, especially two really exciting semifinal games, Texas Southern just, you know, blasted Prairie View. Their first conference loss of the year. They were unbeaten throughout conference play coming into this, and they just kind of picked a bad day to have a bad day.
As had Jackson State. So Rocco, Texas Southern beat two teams that had not lost a SWAC game all season. They really earned this championship, I think.
Oh, they absolutely
earned Johnny it. Jones there, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, coming off an overtime exhausting win yesterday, they showed no signs of exhaustion at all today. They really wanted this championship. And Texas Southern and Prairie View, very intense rivalry there in Texas. The two schools are about an hour and a half apart. And I think, you know, it's always fun when they play each other, even during the season. So for them to meet in the title, you know, that obviously meant a lot to Texas Southern, and they took it to heart.
Right. One more championship game that was played today. David, we've been following a team of the people. It's an old feature. We haven't done it for a few years. But one of our main teams of the people that was just a ton of fun a few years ago was when we supported the Grand Canyon Lopes.
Yeah.
And they're in their quest to get a waiver of their inability to get into the
even conference
to get into the conference tournament or the NCAA tournament. I would note that it is the WAC, where the WAC women's bracket, California Baptist, finished off a perfect season with a WAC tournament championship today, and their women are not eligible for the NCAA tournament because of this stupid rule that requires 4 years.
I concur that this rule is stupid.
But the Lopes take out New Mexico State. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, because it doesn't take 4 years to transition your resources to Division I level or meet any sort of benchmark competitions. Anyway, that's another discussion for another day. But Grand Canyon, first ever Division I NCAA tournament, by the way. I the only thing that I really hate is that it's kind of happening during COVID, because this is a fanatical fan base. The students are great. They would have packed the arena. They would have stormed the court. Even Chad, who hates court stormings, would have loved to see it. And they would have all been traveling to whatever location the Lopes were playing at next week. So, but still, it's cool to see that happen. Whenever a transitional team gets in for the first time, it's pretty fun. At least I think so.
That was it for all the games that were played today, but we have two more conferences that were off today that are back in action with their championship games on Sunday. And John, one of those games in Dayton, Ohio, it is the Atlantic 10 championship game. We haven't revisited this conference in quite a while. We're back at it though with VCU and the Bonnies.
And these are two teams that are going to be a little bit safer into the field here compared to some of the teams that were in the first four, for example. I mean, St. Bonaventure, we were afraid they might have a bit of a toe stubbing against a team like St. Louis, for example, but ended up beating them fairly comfortably. And VCU, well, they did get two nice wins at home, albeit in front of maybe just friends and family, but they're going to be in a completely different environment now in Dayton, of all places.
So do you have a pick?
I'm going to go with Bonnie's right here to pull the double.
David, you agree?
I do.
Rocco, I'm going VCU.
Going VCU? Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Absolutely. I think I don't know VCU's health situation. Obviously, they had some injuries down the stretch at the end of last weekend. I guess I got to lean Bonnies. I think they're just on a nice roll. The way they blew out St. Louis really impressed me.
One other game here. One of the most important games tomorrow, because this one will definitely determine a bid. It is Loyola and Colgate in the Patriot League championship game. The Loyola Greyhounds, the number 9 seed, got a bye due to COVID past Holy Cross, upset Navy, upset Army. Now they get Colgate, who is that number 8 net team, or I think maybe be number 7 net team. Rocco, what do you see in this game coming up tomorrow here?
Well, Chad, this is not your grandfather's 9 seed. This is a dangerous, dangerous Loyola Maryland team, and they finally put it all together here in this tournament. You know, I've been telling you guys about Santi Aldama for the last 18 months or so. He's really just an unbelievable talent for the Patriot League. He's projected in mock drafts in the second round right now in the NBA. And, you know, the combination of him with Cam Spencer and Golden Dyke, they've got some really nice players. Finally starting to put it together. Now, Colgate, on the flip side, you've got Mr. Burns over there and a lot of the guys back from last year, and they are very strong. So I think, you know, and they're on their home court. Colgate still gets the nod, but I think if, you know, I'm calling them the Aldamas, if the Greyhounds get hot early, like they did in their first two games, this is going to be an amazing finish. So I'm kind of hoping for that.
I hope so. I kind of see Colgate winning. I think I see Colgate winning this one also. David?
Yeah, I do too.
John, you want to take the Loyola Greyhounds?
I think Colgate wins, but Loyola is it does spring some great coaches eventually. You've had Skip Prosser, who spent a year there and moved on to Xavier and Wake Forest. And just as importantly, Jimmy Patsos got his start at Loyola.
Yeah, he did.
We know what he's famous for.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our survival board. That was our mock committee. Here's our survival board. This is the tool that if you are in the selection committee room right now, you should be using.
Paying attention to this.
And if you want to find out how many teams are left with a chance to win the national championship, you should follow this as well. Heading into the day today, we had 91 teams left. Not too much knocked off today, actually, with the bids, thieves, and like, down to only 83.
Yeah, but, so...
And it's probably going to... I mean, the loser of the Patriot League will come off. Cincinnati will come off if they lose, but we're going to be at 81, probably 81 or 82 when going into the tournament here.
Yeah, which is typically, we typically get it down to around 80. I think we normally have it in the upper 70s. Right. This year, a little bit different. as you know,
we left a few more teams on the board this year, for example, because of COVID and the like.
Yeah, in the like. So, and again, you don't know who the alternate teams are. So, it's if we have three or four more than usual, that's why you see all the automatic bids there in bold and all caps. You see all the locks in bold, the teams under consideration in italics, and not many regular type teams, because that's up there,
like Cincinnati, is still a regular type team. So if they if they don't win it, they will be off tomorrow. If they do win, they'll go into bold and all caps.
Right. So,
on that note, I guess let's go to our feature here, our final night of our hot seat feature. We have been going through coaches on the hot seat from John Calipari, Tony Bennett, Roy Williams, all the way down to Mick Cronin, Nick Saban, Mitch Barnhart, even John Wooden on the hot seat.
Yes.
That's like, we have one more coach who's coming in on the hot seat, our final coach. And this is a guy, David, that really needs to be on the hot seat because of the way he plays, he coaches the game, the way he sets up the court, even. It's just not in touch with modern basketball.
Yeah, and of course we are talking about Dr. James Naismith.
Dr. James Naismith, you are on the hot seat. Peach baskets instead of nets. That's not dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, and when you look, I don't know why this guy's considered a genius, because when you look at some of his coaching methods, he was under the impression that there was a jump ball after every basket, and that's just not how it's played.
I think it was first team to 10 baskets wins or something too. I don't know.
I think it was. Yeah.
Dr. Naismith, you may have invented the game, but it's passed you by. Sorry, you're on the hot seat.
Right.
On that note, let's go ahead and pull this down. Run through any of their final thoughts, John.
We've lost an hour of sleep, but looking forward to a Selection Sunday that we dearly missed out on last year and hope we never have to do again.
Concur.
Well, I hope we do get more Selection Sundays. I hope we never have to miss a Selection Sunday. Yeah. Rocco.
Glad you mentioned that. It is a special day, for bracketologists that take it seriously like me. A lot of butterflies between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock Pacific time will be going on. But at the end of the day, no matter how the bracket shakes out, it's very exciting to see those teams called and start breaking down matchups right away and kind of playing it out. So definitely good final thought. And then just to recap last night's final thought about the bid steals, it actually came true with Oregon State and Georgetown. And I'm really glad, because we all look at these teams and you figure out what you like about them, what you don't like about them. And I really had a hard time, especially after last night, wanting to select either Colorado State or Syracuse. Now I don't have to. So thank you very much, Hoyas and Beavers. I think that actually made life a little easier. And I don't really feel too bad about leaving either of them out, because they had their chances and didn't make the most of them.
And I'll tell you, the rough thing is if Cincinnati wins tomorrow, that's going to be the rough call. One more team out. I think we needed two teams out, so we got it. Getting the third team out is going to be a little rough here now.
And if that ended up being Drake, I would be heartbroken.
Oh, man. Yeah.
just on a personal level.
Yeah.
David.
Well, it's kind of interesting doing the mock committee. I know we didn't do it this year, but going through that with the three of you and really six or seven other people that we did it with. Interestingly enough, it kind of dawned on me at one point that at least with us, it felt about the same. We were comparing some teams that had played far fewer games than others, that had far fewer chances than others. But at the end of the day, we evaluated what was there, and we were able to do that. There were teams like St. Louis, perhaps Belmont, who we did not select, that we probably felt were better, but just didn't have the chances that they needed. But all in all, I don't know what you all thought, but would you all agree with that? Like, going through what's basically an exercise, it felt like the way that it does in a normal year when we do it. I don't want to encourage this because I want the full 31 game schedules back next year. But I do think the committee, while it's always hard and while it might be a little harder this year, will be able to get it done. My second thought is to kind of back off, like tomorrow being Selection Sunday, the NCAA tournament experience for the players, the coaches, and the fans, but really the players and coaches, is not going to be the same this year. There are very strict COVID protocols in place. The D2 tournament is underway. I'm not going to say who, but a good friend of mine that's a Division II coach that played in the tournament and won a game today. I just said, so, you know, how's the quarantining and the restrictions been? And he replied back, man, freaking miserable. He used another F word, but that is essentially, as excited as I am that it's happening and as happy as I am for the teams that are going to be in it, a part of me, maybe I'm just asking for too much because I'm spoiled, kind of hates that these kids aren't going to get the experience that they would normally get in a normal year. And to echo what Stalika said, I hope it's the last year we ever have that's like that.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. Although I agree with you as well. It was nice to feel normal in doing our mock committee, which we didn't do last year, and watching these games. And we had the cancellations. We had the Duke, and we had the Kansas, and we had the Virginia, and even a lower level, Lakes of Holy Cross and Jacksonville and Charleston Southern. But it was nice to get through this. I believe one other South Carolina State you could throw in there as well, teams that couldn't play because of COVID. But on that note, though, we will be back on, I believe we're going to be doing it sometime Tuesday evening, at normal time Tuesday evening. We'll be recording our review of the actual field and our predictions. We're going to wait till Tuesday in case there are any changes in the field between Selection Sunday and Tuesday. So Tuesday night, we're going to be recording our Hoops HD report, NCAA tournament selection special.
Yeah, but keep up with the site tomorrow, because while there won't be videos or shows, there will be lots of updates. We'll have our mock bracket. We'll have Titel's final bracket. There will be a lot to post. You're going to have to take charge of that, Chad, because I'm locked in the bunker.
Well, we'll work on that. But on that note, on behalf of Rocky Miller from Bracketeer.org, John Stalika, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us for all of these video notebooks. I'm going to bed. Have a great night, everybody.